So welcome to Writers Wednesdays, and we're gonna feature a guest today who's a poet and a songwriter. And on Wednesdays, we like to feature artists who either have a mental health diagnosis or their artistry sheds light on erasing stigma for mental health and chronic illness. Before we get into that, though, I have to give you the shady boots, shady boots, shady boots. So thank you for joining us. You know it's Shady, and I'm always with the shits. And I'd like to introduce you to Tashana. How are you doing today?
Good, how are you?
Good. Thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you here. Number one, because we're related in some way, but we'll talk about that later. But number two, you have some great poetry and some great things to add to the conversation that we started in part one, which was about ghosting and cloaking. So before we get into your art, I'd like to kind of ask you some of those questions. Have you had any experience with online dating before?
Yes, not often though.
Okay. And without online dating, are you a person who, do you share your mental health diagnosis with individuals?
Yes, I think it's necessary to do that.
Is there like a certain point or a good time that you would suggest for people?
I don't feel like there's an actual set time to disclose that. I feel once you get comfortable with the person or when you're talking to them on a comfortable level, then that's when you can disclose of the mental illness.
Gotcha. And then have you ever had like any backlash after you disclosed your mental health issues? Or like say, did anyone stop talking to you online without explanation?
Yes, immediately, like, stop talking. And not only that, but I've also had a few words said to me, like, oh, I can't deal with that. That's too much. Or, oh, you're one of those. And it's just a lot of like controversy. So I've dealt with that too.
How do you feel? Because we call that ghosting, right? So you're having communication with somebody and then all of a sudden they just cut it off. So how did that feel?
I'm gonna hurt my feelings. Because you're expecting the person to respond to you back and they're not. So you're just like absently waiting for nothing. And you don't know that it's nothing. So you get hurt.
So then at what point do you think that you're thinking, okay, I know this person's not going to contact me back. Like, at what time are you thinking that?
I mean, if they don't contact in an hour personally for me, then I guess this conversation is done because everybody has their phones in their hands or by them in their pocket somewhere. No one's ever, 10 feet away from their phone, so it can't possibly take
You
an
know,
hour.
some people. I know that we are people who keep our devices on us all the time, or we're wearing a watch or something of that sort. But
Yeah.
some people, it could take a couple of hours, right?
Yeah, I mean, give or take, yes, depending on, what you're doing, what your routine is, and how the day is going.
Okay. So then, have you ever ghosted someone or cut off communication immediately with them online?
Yes, I ghost people all the time.
You ghost people all the time? For what reasons? What reasons do you ghost people?
Because sometimes people that I don't want to talk to or annoying people, well, I feel that are annoying people. Either hop into my inbox or they text me, and I'm really not in the mood to talk. And I just feel like it's more respectful for me to not say anything to you than to be like, hey, I don't want to talk. And then I got to explain to you, I don't feel like talking. What's going on? And that's just, then you're getting me to talk, which just defeats the purpose.
Wow. So you know what? I have a question for you then. Are these people that you have like long-term conversations with, or maybe you've only known them for like a month or something?
Both.
Both. So you've ghosted people that you've had long-term conversations with?
Yeah, all the
Did you feel bad afterward?
No, I mean, we all have things to do, and it's not like I purposely ghost them. Sometimes you know how you see a message and you're like, oh, okay, well, I'm gonna text this person back. Subconsciously, you're thinking, hey, all right, I'm gonna text this person back. And then you get to doing something and then you forget. And I accidentally ghost people, so.
Accidentally. So are you a believer that if we want to make time for something, we will?
Yes, I truly believe that wholeheartedly. I feel like people make time for things and people and whatever they want to make time for, they'll make it.
Got you. So then maybe ghosting is saying, I don't want to make time for you?
Not necessarily. I mean, it depends on the situation.
Okay.
Like, if I'm not feeling well and someone messages me, hey, how are you today? You know, I might leave you on read just because I'm personally just not, I'm probably woke up on the wrong side of the bed, or I'm annoyed and I don't feel like talking. I just don't want that energy to come off onto you. So I'll just leave it alone. Then I'll get back to you like, hey, I was busy. My bad. I didn't see your message, or, you know, something of the like.
Gotcha. So you mentioned that you've ghosted plenty of times and you've also been ghosted. And mm-hmm. so then were you doing it before you got ghosted or after?
I kind of jumped on the bandwagon because when I finally knew what ghosting was, I was like, oh yeah, I could do that. You know, whatever, people who I don't want to talk to. Oh, nope.
So it became an option.
Of course, you have options.
Now... I like that. Of course you have options. Now, you and I, we're like different generations, right? Mm-hmm. So you're in a younger generation than I am. Do you think that maybe younger people, it's just not this connection because of all the social media that we're exposed to now?
Yeah, most likely. I mean, you can't ignore someone in person. I mean, you can, but imagine how hard that would be. You know, you're sitting face to face in front of this person and the person's like, hi, how's your day? And you're just like,
I see. You know? That was going to be my next question, too. Do you think people are doing it and it's not someone they have to see face to face? Have you ever ghosted someone and they're still like in your circle, or you guys have mutual friends?
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
So how is it seen then after you're like, I'm not talking to you?
I mean, some people take it differently. I mean, sometimes when I ghost my friends, sometimes they get mad, like, oh, you never message me back, or I know you saw my message. And it's just like, dude, I didn't feel like it. My spirit was like, no, not right now. Maybe later.
Do you think that has to do with some of the symptoms of your mental health diagnosis as well?
Yeah.
Like when you're saying, okay, I'm not in the mood, I don't want to deal with it right now.
Most definitely. It's like a feeling that automatically comes. I could be doing something. I could be walking. And just automatically, just nothing happens. It's really just an emotion just rains over. And you're just like, huh? Like, what?
Gotcha. Now, have you ever considered, okay, I'm really not in the mood, and picking up the phone and telling that person, you know what, this is not a good time. I'll call you when it's a good time.
Personally, I'm still working on my communication skills. Uh-huh. So in my eyes, I might say a couple like words and be like, hey, today I'm just not feeling right today. And I'll leave it at that. But I won't go into depth of why or, you know, what it is. But I try to use my words.
Got you. So what's your experience like in a dating relationship? Have you ever dated someone who also had a mental health diagnosis?
Yes, one person.
And do you think, like, is it something that you can compare to a different relationship, or is it not much difference?
It's very tedious and it's very hard and it's more work, I would say. It's like a job, kind of like when you want to get a promotion.
Mm-hmm.
So you have these two great jobs. So we'll say the two great jobs are, you know, one job has the mental illness and the other job doesn't. So you have these two great jobs, and one you have to work really, really hard for, but you get paid good money, and it's good. Sometimes it's stressful. Sometimes you want to quit. Sometimes you're just like, nah, I'm not dealing with it. But then you have this easy other job where it's like, everything just, it's good. It's rolling. You don't have to deal with certain problems that you feel that you don't have to deal with, you know, with the mental illness. So, I mean, it's a major difference, honestly.
So what do you mean with that? I know you're saying it's tedious, but when you say some problems that you feel you don't have to deal with, like, what kind of problems would you be talking about?
Like, personally, for me, encouraging, uplifting, it seems to be a problem in my relationship, especially when I'm dating a person that has a mental illness as well. Because not only do you have to lift yourself up and motivate yourself, you have to also uplift that other person because you don't know what's going on in that other person's head. And just because you have something going on with yourself, that other person is still going to be like, well, we're both going through this. You know, we're both feeling like
A competition.
Exactly.
Like, I'm more ill than you are right now.
Right.
Oh, I see. Okay. Because, see, I've personally never dated anyone that I know of or who has admitted to having any type of mental health diagnosis. So, I've always been the one who can be on 10 sometimes when I'm upset. And so what I find is with the communication, like you're saying, it's really, really important that you be able to talk about what's going on in your head, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I've had many experiences where I am talking about how I feel and what's going on and what behaviors I feel are offensive to me in the relationship, but it's still being dismissed as, okay, well, that's just your mental health diagnosis feeling that way. You'll be all right tomorrow. You know, have you ever had that before?
Yeah, I've dealt with that for 4 years, but that was toxic. It was like, I was doing everything. I was telling my feelings. I was like, I just don't feel like, it's not being appreciated. It's just, I'm not feeling the same things that I'm giving you. I'm not feeling that.
So you were giving support to the individual, but you're not being reciprocated. It's not being reciprocated back, and you're not receiving support from your partner.
Yeah, it was like both of us in a fire, and I only had one bucket of water. And yeah, I love myself, but I love this other person so much more that I would rather save them. And I just saved them so many times that I kind of just wanted to save myself one time. Like, I just felt like...
Well, what was wrong with that?
See, when people feel like there's something wrong and they don't see it, then they make you a victim. They make it seem like you're the one that's wrong, or you've been wrong this whole time. That's not what it is. That you're crazy. It's just all in your head. I'm making things up. And I just didn't want to deal with that anymore.
Oh my gosh, similar experience. I totally agree with you. It's like I'm pouring out my heart right here and saying that, well, when you do this, this is what's happening. And then it's kind of like, oh, I think your mental illness is just making you think that way. And definitely the favorite word I've always heard is delusional. You're delusional, right? And they're using that word. And to me, it's quite offensive because, yes, there's symptoms of mental illness, right? Yes, I get irritated. Yes, I can get upset over things that are not important to you, but are important to me. But at the same time, that fire is being fueled by the fact that you will not validate my feelings. You will not understand that I have real feelings. So to me, it feels like if I'm disclosing my mental health diagnosis, that anything that I feel now is just crazy. It's not correct. And that's something that frustrates me a lot, actually. I spent a long time hiding my diagnosis until the last couple of years, and I just have not had a good dating experience. What about you?
It's bittersweet. I mean, people don't see the mental illness for me because I guess, quote unquote, I'm such a strong person and I'm always smiling and I have a bubbly laughter. And I don't know what depression looks like. I just know that I feel it. You can't be like, yep, that's depression right there. Like, there it is, dressed in white. Like, yep, there it is.
And it's dressed in white. Like,
clear as day. Look through it. Look at it right there. Crying. Look
Got
at
you.
It. Like, okay. You can't, you know what I'm saying? And people just make it out to be this monster. Like, I was made out to be this horrible monster. I was just so negative, and that wasn't what it was. Every time I tried to say how I felt about something or what they were doing to make me feel some type of way, it was like I'm being negative. It was all me. Or they would bring up something that I did, and that's why they were doing the things to me to make me feel that way. And it was just like...
So, like, placing intentional stress on you.
Yes. And I had loved that person for so long, so much. I let them do whatever. I just one day I got tired.
So do you think maybe things got out of hand because maybe there weren't any boundaries in that relationship? Like, do you think that you were making a lot of sacrifice, but then never really requesting the sacrifice from the individual?
Yeah, I mean, I know partly to blame is me because I should have, you know, spoken up, you know, earlier in the relationship. But me, I was just like, yeah, here you go. Here's another piece of my heart, too. And here you go. You can have that. You can have this, too. Oh, you don't got to give me that yet. I'll wait. You can have me, though. Here you go. Here you go. Here you go. And it was just like, man, okay, now I kind of need you. I kind of need a slice of you now. Like, I need it. Like, I'm hungry. Like, Can I have some? And that person's just like, no, you're good. You're not starving. Here's a crumb. I'll tell you a little bit. That's how it was.
I see. Okay. And did you end up ghosting
You know, when you love someone,
that person?
you try to very
Okay,
hard,
okay.
but then you're like, let me just say one more thing because you know what? You're not about to just leave this conversation without me saying my little one thing, and then that one thing turns into a whole like long paragraph, and all of a
Totally.
sudden you're on the phone, and
And then
it's
you're back
crazy.
together.
Yeah.
Totally. Okay. So similar experience, different generation, but still some similar experiences. That's very, very interesting. I want to talk a little bit about your artistry, though. So, like, where does your inspiration come from for your songwriting and for your poetry?
Well, my songwriting and my poetry are two totally different things. So I say that because my songwriting is more uplifting, it's goofy, it's fun, it's just, you know, you would never think that I would do something creative like that. But my poetry, it comes from my soul, like deep, like from the pits of my kidneys. Like that's
That's
super
pretty
deep.
deep. That's pretty
That's
deep.
super deep. Well, I'm telling you, like when I feel depressed or like just in a certain mood, it comes really strong and I have to write. I can't, no one could tell me, hey, Tashana, can you please write me a poem right now? I can't. I can't
So
just.
poetry is the outlet for your feelings.
Most definitely. And paper and pencil are two very strong materials. They're like sharp weapons. And your mind is just as sharp as your tongue. You could cut anything with that. And so when I'm writing, I feel powerful. I feel like nothing could stop me. Like you could feel my words. You'll just be like, what? Like, what? I could feel this from you. And it's just simply on a piece of paper. You're just simply reading it.
Now we've talked a little bit, and so I know that you shared your music with individuals before, but it sounds like you don't really share too much of your poetry. Is that true? Am I getting the right idea about that?
Yeah, that's true.
Why is that?
I've always been like that, though. I don't share my poetry with certain people. One, because I feel like my poetry is just really dark, and some people are very aware, and I don't want, you know, to offend anybody or make anybody uncomfortable or, you know, have them think something that it's not. And then another reason why I don't show my poetry is because I'm very hard on myself. You know, everyone says, you know, I love your poetry, it's really good. And I'm just like, really? Because it's like a third grader sentence structure. Like, do you not see
Wow, is
this?
that how
Like,
you see it? 'Cause I've had an opportunity to actually see a few of your things, and I definitely don't think that at all. I do. I think it's really inspirational, and it does seem like it's coming from the gut. You know what I mean? Somewhere very internal, and the way that it's expressed to me is just quite amazing. Kind of like, even though it's giving someone insight into what's going on, and it's very raw, it's very real. It's also artistic, which is just so crazy to me. When you said, though, you don't like to share it with people because you don't want to make them uncomfortable. And I believe you said, make them think it's something that it's not. What did you mean by that?
when I was younger, I used to write poetry a lot, like in the high school days. And I decided to open up and show my poetry to, you know, some classmates and, you know, some teachers. And a few, not a few seconds, but a couple hours later, I get pulled into the office and like, is there something that you want to talk to the counselor about? Is everything okay? And it's like, if I wanted to talk to somebody, if I was asking for help, I would have done it a different way. I don't want people to think like this is like a suicide outlet or like a letter or I'm just trying to reach out or get attention or nothing. It's nothing like that. It's basically I'm putting how I feel on a piece of paper for other individuals so they could, you know, so when they feel some type of way and they don't know how to express it, they could look at something and be like, this is how I feel at the end of the day. This right here, what Tashana has wrote, this is exactly how I feel. She understands exactly how I feel. That's what I do.
I see, except it looks like you're having a private viewing with your poetry, right?
Yeah.
So when can we expect to see something more public from you? on the poetry side.
Honestly, I know this is like weird to say it, but really the next time I'm depressed again, because
That's how you're getting it out, right?
honestly, I have not been super depressed like I was not, I mean, like in high school, it was really something like different. I was living with this darkness. Right now, I can't tell you I'm living with darkness. He visits. He surely does
I like how
visits.
you
I
say
mean,
that. He visits.
he comes and gets comfortable and everything, you know, for a few days, but we don't live together no more. I have to kick him out.
Got you. He doesn't have a key anymore. Is that what
No.
it is? So he shows up unexpectedly,
Right.
right? And you like, well, you ain't gotta go home, but you gotta get the out of here. Is that where it's going? So you call it the darkness. I call mine the beast.
Yeah, I call it the darkness because I feel like darkness means death, and I feel like death is the father of darkness. I personify all my, you know, all my emotions, everything, because they're real. They really are. They could really, emotions could take control of someone and possess them. Honestly, they really could.
Wow,
Emotions are
that's.
really, really strong.
I would agree with that actually. So, do you think it's an emotional reaction from people when you share your mental health diagnosis? Do you think that maybe there's a fearful emotion that they have, like they don't know what to expect?
It has to be that. Because if logically speaking, if you were to say, hey, you know, I have manic depression, da, 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 a logical person would be like, you know what? I understand. I understand that. This is how we're gonna work through some of these things. Not what? You have, oh, you're one of those. So you just be spazzing out. You crazy, huh? Like,
So where do you think people get that idea from? Do you find that maybe they have someone else in their family who has a mental health illness that matches yours, or do you think they're getting it from mainstream media?
society, the media, how people act today, just everywhere. Everything that you see, they're gonna say, oh, there it is, that's manic depression right there. Nobody really knows what it looks like. But if it looks weird, if it doesn't look normal, oh,
Then that must
that's
be
what
what
it
it
is. It
is.
is. If it's not what
Gotcha.
society says, if the sky wasn't blue, it's weird. It's not normal at all. Something needs to happen. What's going on? Like,
So,
you know.
there's a couple of productions, that tries to help us peer into what having a mental illness might be like. So, one of those would be like 13 Reasons Why. So when we have features like that, do you think they're getting it right? Do you think they're focusing on the right things?
Some is a hit and miss. 13 Reasons Why hit a little bit, like a little bit. Yes, I understand bullying is a big part of, you know, the mental illness, everything like that. I understand people don't talk about, you know, young women getting raped and everything in schools and stuff like that. I understand that's traumatic as well. But what about, I don't know, what about in your childhood growing up? What about some traumatic things that have happened to you? What about things being said? What about, you know, regret or anger that sits in your heart? Because when something happens to you, first your first reaction is anger, but you're really hurt. If you let that hurt sit, it's gonna turn into anger. If you let that anger sit, it's gonna turn into rage. If you're gonna let that rage sit, it's gonna turn into regret. And all through that, and it takes time. It takes a lot of time.
Agreed, agreed.
But during that time, you're just digging yourself in a hole, getting more close and close into darkness. And I just feel like something needs to be done about that. 13 Reasons Why I didn't really touch on that. It gave a surface glimpse.
Oh, I like what you're saying there.
It was like spraying like a bottle of like some, I don't know, furniture cleaner, and then wiping it off with the like a paper towel or, you know, something of that sort. Just surface clean. Not really like scrubbing and, you know, deep cleaning,
Getting
like let
down
me
to the
see.
root of the
Yeah,
problem.
like what is really the issue? Just here it is right here. We're not gonna go any further. Society doesn't let us. We're not going to. We can't let y'all know that much.
One of the other things I see about it's 13 Reasons Why and some of the other features where they have mental health diagnosis as a focus or a little spotlight here and there is that they show circumstances causing depression or the baseline to be off, but not really especially 13 Reasons Why, was there anyone with a mental health diagnosis? And so deteriorating mental health and then having a diagnosis is something that's actually totally different. And we've talked about that before.
Yeah.
And one of those differences is that just having a breakdown in mental health, it means something may have happened, right? Life is going along and maybe someone passed away in your family, or maybe you got a divorce, or you broke up with your significant other, right? You're like a little sad, you're sad. This is hurting you. Okay, that's a breakdown in our mental health. But with a diagnosis, it's not anything that you choose. You could have the best job, you could have the best home, you could have anything that anyone ever wanted to imagine. Yet you go to bed and that's a great day. And then you wake up and all hell breaks loose, right? Like, it feels like you lost your whole family, even though everything that you had last night is still around. It's like, it's hard to explain, why am I feeling this way when nothing's wrong? And right. I think people tend not to understand that. They want to know, well, what happened? So do I. I want to know what happened too, you know, but at the end of the day, you still have to keep moving forward with whatever the daily routine is. And it seems kind of difficult to be able to explain that to people, for them to get inside. Or maybe I just want to be alone today. Then that's going to be automatically attributed to my mental health diagnosis. When no, just like you kind of want your personal time. Sometimes I want my personal time. So I find myself always in these situations, especially in relationship, that if I give too much silence, and, you know, if I don't talk in a certain amount of time when I hit the door, then I'm probably having some kind of mental health issue, right? And it just goes into that mode. So for me, it's the difficulty of trying to be quote unquote normal, or normalize that part of my life's experience. You know what I mean? But it just feels like even when I'm talking, no one's hearing what I'm saying. They don't believe it. Because I have a mental health diagnosis, right?
That's correct.
So I really like you touching on that. Now, I wanted you to share a little bit of your poetry, if you could. Are you in the mood for that today?
Yeah, I'm up for it.
All right. So I'm excited about that. I think you do some really good work. So I'll let you go ahead and take over and share what you have for us.
Okay. This poem is called Birthday. It's by me, Tashauna Daniels. It says, funny how things fall apart while building them. I must have the wrong tools for the job. Everything I touch crumbles before me, almost instantly, without a thought. Coming close to success, I can taste it. Still eating words of failure. Sitting, head in hands, asking for the keys, without knowing I've had them all along. Constantly trying to find what it is I possess. I'm gathering myself along the way. Emotions cutting deeper than depth, taking control while my logic takes a back seat. Emotion so strong, I'm invincible.
Wow. So what might have inspired that?
Honestly, I wrote this a long time ago, and I just felt like I was failing at everything. Like, I wanted to be successful so bad. And it was right there. I'm really smart, and, you know, I know how to do a lot of things. And I'm low-key a perfectionist. But it was like, with all those things combined, I still was missing the mark somehow. And I needed an outlet. Nobody was understanding where I was coming from. It was always, Tish, you're so good. Don't be so hard on yourself. And it was like, do you not see this? Do you not understand? Like, do you not have these feelings? Like, just those things.
But sometimes you think you're a little bit hard on yourself?
No.
Maybe so a little. If we're looking at this poem right now that you just shared with us, how do you critique this poem?
I mean, I already see one thing that's wrong with it. I'm looking at this one word and I'm like, oh, we need to change that because I don't like that.
So could that be a reason why you don't like to also publish your work?
I'm just a perfectionist and I want my work to be perfect when it comes out. I don't want anyone to be able to spot a mistake or nothing. Like, oop, nope, that don't make sense.
But have you considered the fact that no one's perfect, and maybe perfect means imperfection?
Yeah, but I mean, we could still try.
Yes, we can. Yes, we can. You know, I just had to throw that out at you. So I want to do a little segment where we play 21 questions.
Okay.
Are you in the mood for that? And you're just gonna say like, the first thing that you could think of, okay?
Okay.
So, first question. The worst date you've ever been on?
Oh, when I fell at the skating rink. That was the worst.
Oh, I need to know about that now. What do you mean? Like, you were just skating? Did you get embarrassed because you fell? Was it a special fall? Everybody falls at the skating rink.
Well, okay. So I use crutches because, I have disability. I'm disabled, but, it's all good. I still skate everything, do all that, So I went on a date and I was skating. Okay. And, my crutch, because I use crutches, so my crutch was, a little bent or whatever, because I'm active, so I don't know what I'd be doing, but they'd be coming up broke. And so, it was a little bent, so I'm all skating, having a good time, smiling. Yeah. All of a sudden, I
When you do that
fell.
motion, the crutch broke. You did a
The
motion like something
crutch
broke.
broke
Oh my
in
God.
half and I slid. And everybody at the skating rink was like, oh my gosh. And then my dad was like, oh my gosh, are you okay? And I'm just there like,
Were you able to laugh afterwards? Or it was like, no, it's done.
I wanted to cry because it hurt. So it was kind of like, yeah, that was funny. Didn't anybody see that? Yeah, everybody caught that. I'm great. I can't cry in front of everybody because, everybody's going, oh, you okay? So you just have to be like, yeah, I'm great. But it hurt though. It did
Tell the
hurt.
truth. I've had some skating incidents of my own, and I even had a fall that, yes, it hurt, but I wasn't thinking about the fall. I had a situation where I was wearing a wig, right? But I didn't really like put it on and tack it on. I don't do that. So I just kind of like put it on and I used a little comb and I was going, and I'm always trying to be safe because I don't want to fall with my arthritis and stuff. So I'm trying to be safe. And there's this little kid with one of those crate mate things, like the skate mate. And so they're pushing that around and they're coming towards me. And I'm like, oh no, run away, run away. We got to get out of here, right? And then, right when I turn to duck away from the little kid, there's an adult skating backward towards me. And there's just
All
no way
bad.
I'm going to avoid them. So, I mean, I try to put my arms out to brace myself, like, so we don't lock up with the skates. Because, Lord, falling on that floor is one thing, but getting hit
Walking
by
up
a
on those skates,
skate is the worst, right? So I feel my whole body come up off the floor, right? Like I'm in the air. And I also
What?
feel air under my wig, which means my head is being exposed, right? So I'm like, oh my gosh,
Oh
oh my gosh, I
Lord.
don't care about the falling. I'm thinking, should I put both hands on my wig? You know what I mean? And that's all I could think about. I just thought, please, wig, don't come off. It was really slow-mo, like,
Did it come off
no, luckily it didn't come off. It didn't come off. And then I tried to do like a little spin move, like I was laying out trying to be cute, like you tried to do that. So I totally get that. It ruins all your sexy after that, doesn't
Yeah, we
it?
left after that,
Right?
so like
So then that was your worst, I mean, a fun story, but that was your worst date.
yeah, of
What about your
course.
best date?
The best one was where I went to the movies and I saw two movies. We really wasn't supposed to see two movies, but you know how that goes when it's late and it's just like, let's go see another movie. And so, yeah, I went and see all another movie. Didn't have to pay for anything. And I don't mind paying for stuff, but the movies, let me tell you, with the tickets and the concession stand, I don't know what be wrong with the concession stand because I swear I can make my own popcorn, get the same snacks at the dollar store, and spend like $5 and I'll be set. By the time I get off the concession stand, $44.23.
Yes, so
Huh?
true, so
What do we
true.
buy?
That's where they make their money. Yes, so true. Even when I've gone to the discount movie, yeah, that's the
Yeah,
most expensive thing.
still.
Totally agree. So then that's your best date. So what's your dream date?
I want to go somewhere that I've never been. They ain't gotta be fancy and fly me out or nothing like that. But they could plan something like, hey, let's go to another city in California or something. I just want to see something else. My eyes want to see something different than, what we're staring at all the
So, are
time.
you a California baby?
Yep.
I see. You're longing to get out of California.
Yeah, I love California. I do. I'm always gonna love California. We have the best food and everything. But it gets boring sometimes, and it's expensive.
Yes,
It's
agreed.
really just the expensive part, honestly. That's all it is for me.
So then you say you would like to go somewhere you've never been. That brings me to then what would be your ideal honeymoon location?
Dubai or New York or
Ooh.
China. Because I really want to walk the Great Wall. I'm gonna have to camp out though because I know I'm
So you
not
already
going.
got a plan.
Yeah,
I
I
like
decided
that
might as
though.
well just take the camper
Right?
because
I like that. I like that a lot. Yeah, that's a long walk.
you're telling me to
Give them
walk down.
let's take a long walk. Yeah, give them the Jill Scott on that. Okay. So then what? We're at four right now?
Yeah.
All right. And then where's somewhere that a best food place that you've been on your date? What's the best?
Oh man, that's hard. I love a lot of food. It's a tie between this authentic Mexican restaurant because I always pick Mexican food. You can never go wrong with Mexican food.
Agreed.
Or it would have to be Chinese food, shrimp fried rice, but it has to
Okay.
be from certain places because some people be making it with that brown rice and that we can't do it with the brown
Gotcha. So, this is a two-part question.
rice. Okay.
Are you a cheap date or a high maintenance date?
It honestly, this is gonna sound messed up, but it just depends on how much I really want to be in your presence, how much I really want your company. Because if I'm feeling you and I'm like, yes, I really want to go with them and I really want to get to know them, then I'm gonna be like, I got it. It's all on me. Don't worry about it. But if I'm like, I'm like, we gonna cut it in half. What's the
Honesty.
plan? You gonna pick me up? I'll put gas in the car.
So that's when it's like maybe we should go Dutch, is what you're
Yeah.
are those the people? I'm gonna make that. I'm gonna go ahead and let that solidify the question. But so then on that second part, do you prefer expensive dates, like someone who wants to go to a nice restaurant, or would you prefer someone who's cool with going to the local hot dog stand?
Both.
Okay.
Honestly, it doesn't matter to me as long as like we're both comfortable and we're both doing things that, are fun to the other person, then that'll be cool. It doesn't really have to necessarily be like we don't always have to get food or something. We could like take a walk or to me I'm simple. So taking a walk or going to the library, finding a book and reading it. We could read the same book, take turns, popcorn. I'm a kid, so it doesn't matter to me.
Gotcha. So I know nowadays the new thing is no one really wants to have titles, right? Oh, I don't want to be called a girlfriend or a boyfriend, or I don't want a monogamous relationship, right? So would you say that's the cool thing to do, or would you say you're more traditional?
I'm more traditional. I'm think of me as a hopeless romantic, like 1950s era, or even like 1800s. I'm all about like the Romeo and Juliet or Macbeth or some Shakespeare type level. That's what I'm on.
Gotcha.
If you ain't
Super
telling me what it
cool.
is, then it ain't nothing.
Super cool. So then, oh, I now I have to adjust this question, and I'm gonna adjust it a little bit to ask, then, have you been in that Romeo Juliet type of relationship?
Yeah, it's always me being in it. Nobody else. Just me.
Surprised me. That was a good one.
Just me.
So you still haven't found the other part to your
No.
Romeo and Juliet. Okay. Have you given up on that? Or are you still going for it?
Right now, I'm gonna say I'm giving up. My heart knows it's not giving up because it just can't do that. It feeds and lives off of love and all that fantasy stuff. But right now, I need to give it up because it ain't making me eat no good food or helping me pay bills or
Love
nothing.
don't pay
So
the bills.
it
You're
don't
telling the truth on
even
that,
feel
girl.
good sometimes. So I can't even say when we feel good.
Sometimes.
So
Got you there. So right now, you did clarify, okay, well, it's not happening right now. So then do you plan on ghosting any people after your ghosting experience?
oh yeah, I'm still gonna ghost. It's not gonna stop me from ghosting. Sorry.
You know, when I started the journey about the ghosting and the cloaking, and I was doing some research on it, I thought to myself, you know, this is kind of mean. And then I started thinking about, well, I guess I kind of ghosted every major relationship I've been in. And I was like, okay, I'm not gonna do that again, right? But then I went out with this one person, And I decided, nah, man, there's some reasons you need to ghost people.
See, I'm telling you,
So I
you have
agree with you
options.
there. I agree with you there. I'm having a really great time. Did you have anything that you want to share with us?
No, I think this is pretty cool though.
I know, I definitely had a good time having you on. I don't know if you want to actually share the diagnosis or not. I don't push people to do that at all because I still think that's personal and it's, your information to
Right.
share if you want to share or not. But without sharing the diagnosis, then like what is the most difficult thing about managing it?
Staying positive and staying motivated is the most hardest for me. And I really don't have a problem saying what I have, but for me, I have manic depression, so it's really hard when I'm like really low, I'm really low. Like it's really sad. When I'm really happy, I'm really happy. But at that low point of times, it's just really hard to find something to like motivate me, even to like do simple stuff. Like even to just go and like go outside to just like feel the weather or something. Like, oh, let's go check the weather. No, I don't want to do that. Oh, I'm hungry. Get up. No, I'm sorry. Like I could be like dying hungry and I'm just like, nope, drink some water and I'll be good again. Like just
Gotcha.
those things are really, really hard for me. I'm working on them slowly.
So, if stigma was not associated with mental health, if people didn't think negatively about that, how would that change your world? How do you think that would change your world as you live right now?
A lot of people will be more accepting and more, willing to not be a part of your life, but uplift you and help you to see that you're not alone. That even though that other people don't have the mental illness that you have, that they still can relate to a certain extent.
I like that. You know what? I think we're gonna end that on a good note. You really gave us some good conversation today, and I'm excited about that. And I
Thank
know
you.
at the beginning, I told everyone we were related in some way, and maybe we would reveal that. Should we tell them?
Yup.
So, Tashana is actually my oldest daughter, and she agreed to come on, and I really, really enjoyed it. There was actually a lot of things I learned today.
Did you really?
I'm always learning something new about my daughter. So there's something new that I learned today, and we had a really fun conversation. A lot of times when we hook up and have conversations, we have fun. And then, of course, mother daughter, sometimes we don't have fun. But I really enjoyed this conversation,
Yeah, it
and I'm
was cool.
hoping that, we can do this again sometime.
Catch us next week.
All right, then. I love what she's saying, y'all. We're gonna go ahead and get out of here. So, it's Shay D. Tish D, and we be with the shits. Catch you next time. Thank you for joining us.